My name is Jesse Norwood.
And I'm the pastoral intern here at Marvin. I'd like to start by thanking Marvin Methodist Church, and specifically Core Worship, for letting me be here and preach today. Let us pray. Lord, we magnify your name this morning. Father, we ask that you show us your kindness and mercy. Jesus, would you give us your grace? And Holy Spirit, breathe new life in us. Lord, I pray that you speak through me or in spite of me. May the glory be to you. Amen. So to introduce myself, I'm from A&M. And I plan to go to Truett Seminary and eventually become an Army chaplain. But a bit of an unknown fact about me is that I am adopted from Petrozavodsk, Russia, by two amazing and hardworking parents that are actually here today, the big man in the white shirt and my lovely mother next to him. My father is from Beaumont, Texas, and my mother is from Shreveport, Louisiana. My father is a retired Houston Police Department officer, and my mother, a chemical engineer with over 30 years in experience. And something they tried to raise me and my brother with was a strong work ethic, the same work ethic that led me to work on ranches and farms and lodges all throughout high school and in my college career. But my favorite job was with my dad in high school. When I was 15, I worked on a road crew with my father that started the same way every morning. We'd start by loading 50-pound bags of asphalt blacktop onto our shoulders, onto a trailer to go fill potholes. But eventually, we stepped up and we got a new machine, the asphalt crack sealing machine. And the way this works is that you attach a propane tank to start a flame and to heat blocks of tar that you place in the black box that then melts the tar and puts it as a sealant in those lines you see in the background. But unfortunately, when my father taught me how to use this machine, I had not yet been gifted with my amazing and extremely humble work ethic. So when my dad showed me how to use this machine, he put in this effort, and I didn't match his effort. I was on my phone, I was looking in the distance, and here I had this father who was trying to help me. So my father did something. He looked at me, and he walked away. And I was shocked. I was so mad. My hero, the man I look up to, the man I'd like to become, has just left me. How could he? How dare he? So there I am, standing with this machine. It looks very complicated. And I decide to put in effort. I decide to adjust the flame. I decide to pull a lever. I decide to push it with a little effort. And a few minutes pass, and I'm able to lay down lines that are half decent, but still lines. And eventually my father returns, and I'm still shocked. I have no idea what he's going to say to me. And he clearly says, "Jesse, you figured it out. I knew you would." And now as I'm older, I can look back and realize that my father left me so I could figure it out on my own. This type of love is also seen in verse 13. "I ask you therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." We look at the Greek version and we see that "your" is plural. In this instance, not meaning God's glory at this time, but for the glory of the Ephesians that Paul is writing to. Don't be discouraged, for the suffering is your glory. We move back into verse 12. "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Two things that cannot be bought, two things that cannot be earned. I step back to 2 Timothy 1:7 that tells us that the Spirit of the Lord is not of fear, it's not of timidness, but of power, love, and self-control. The same love that allows a father to leave his son to struggle so that he can find confidence, capability, and the ability to figure things out. Because my dad can't give these to me. He can't buy it for me. And this, in the same way, is how God doesn't just give us power. He gives us situations to learn where true power comes from. But why does he do this? It's truly for our protection. Because if we don't have an appreciation for the gifts, for the blessings that God gives us, we can easily misuse them. Recently, Mark and I had the pleasure of going to Billymore Correctional Facility, where we were able to preach the gospel. But there was a man I met there who told me about his faith journey. He told me how about he had his wife and these kids that he needed to provide for. So his first prayer was for money, financial stability. And don't we all pray for that? He then told me what he needed. He told me his daughter needed braces. He needed to pay the rent. And worst of all, gas had reached $2 a gallon at the time. So this father prayed and prayed and prayed. And that week, he received a $2,000 tax refund in the mail. What a blessing. What a prayer that is answered. And so we sit here and we look at this father, and our only question is, what does he give it to first? Does he help his daughter? Does he pay the rent? His father took this blessing and he bought meth. We read clearly in Psalm 145:17, "The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and faithful in all that he does." Through this, we know that our Lord is good. We know that the Lord wants to bless his children. But don't we twist the blessings we are given? Anyone here at Marvin that knows me knows I love the gym. And my dad gave me one piece of advice before my interview. He told me, "Jesse, Doug and Mark do not need to know your bench press max." But not only because that would make me look bad, but because it would show I have a clear idol. And strangely, that's very applicable to the large amount of buff dads here at Marvin. But there are idols that we all struggle with. On my nightstand, I have three items: my Bible, my phone, and my glasses. And I would be lying to you if I told you I always reach for my Bible. I have two things that help me see, one see through my heart and one see physically. And some days, I don't even reach for my glasses first. Many days, I find the first thing I reach for is my phone. But don't we all do this? Other times in Tyler, when I'm waiting for food or on the bus, I'll have someone right next to me. And instead of talking to them, developing a connection with a child of God as someone who knows of the Great Commission and is called to ministry, I instead scroll on my phone. A human being made in the image of God, and I scroll on my phone. Does that sound like freedom? We look back to verse 12, and it says to approach God not only with confidence, but with freedom. One of my favorite things about Paul is how he starts his letters. Greetings from Paul. And we look in Ephesians 1, and he calls himself, "I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus." And then we move to Ephesians 3, where he says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." But this has two meanings. Because Paul, quite literally, is in prison whenever he's writing the Ephesians. He's on house arrest. But at the same time, Paul is conveying a truth that he needs to be said. I would rather be a prisoner of Christ than a prisoner of sin. He tells us, I would rather be a prisoner of Christ than a prisoner of idols. We move on to Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." The Father, not the best, the creator, the greatest, but the Father, because our Father desires an intimate relationship with us. We move on to verse 16. "I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." His Spirit, his power. But why do we need this? Paul tells us right in verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Through faith. And now we have everything we need to understand Paul's message. We need to rely on the love of God, which gives us power to host Christ in our hearts through freedom and faith. I'll say that again. We need to rely on the love of God, which gives us His power to host Christ in our hearts through freedom and faith. But what does this lead to? We read the end of verse 17. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. But what does it mean to be rooted? Every Sunday, Mark tells us to be rooted, restful, and relational. But what does it mean to be rooted? My mom gardens, and she's taught me a good bit about plants. One of these things being that what the roots are affects the outside of the plant. But at the same time, what our roots are on the inside affects our outward appearance. So we have the choice of shallow roots or strong roots. Rooted, restful, relational. So what does relational mean? We move forward and we see, how are we relational? There's so many times I have someone tell me, Jesse, I couldn't invite my friend. I couldn't invite my coworker. I just couldn't find the words to invite them to service this morning. I depended on myself to sell it, but I couldn't find the right words. Shallow roots. Because it's not by our power, it's by His. So how do we tell our spirit versus His love? We read in verse 18, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Let's define these. Christ's love is wide enough to extend to everyone, no matter who you are or what you've done. His love is long enough that it endures forever and it doesn't end. And most importantly, it's not on our timing. His love is high enough to be perfect, something we later read surpasses our knowledge. And Christ's love is deep enough to reach us in our sin. Because Christ didn't just die for you, Christ died for the worst version of you. Christ died for the you that didn't know Him. Christ died for you who lived in sin. So what does this look like to live for Christ in this way? What does this love look like? We read in verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Surpasses knowledge. So much so that we might not even know it's there. When I was working on this road crew and my father left, he was there. He was in the truck nearby. He never even left me. But because I didn't feel his presence, I thought that he had left. But he was right there watching me. Just in the same way, last Sunday, Mark told us about Ira Yates and an oil reservoir he had underneath his property. But he didn't know it was there. So the question came, did the worth of this oil change just because he didn't know it was there? And it obviously didn't. So now that we know about this love, we have a question. Why do we ever reach towards our own spirit? Yeah. And it's because we don't understand the love that Christ gives us. Not fully, at least. Because if we did, we wouldn't reach towards cheap or lesser imitations. So many days we wake up, let me see how many likes my post got. Let me see what this person said about me. On the other end, we're overly self-reliant. How many times have we prayed, Lord, you know I struggle with this, but I haven't seen your hand move how I think it should move. Or I haven't seen it move enough, Lord, so I'll figure this out. Lord, I hear this every Sunday. I know I need you, but not with this. Lord, I'll figure it out on my own. Don't settle for less. Please don't settle for less, a lesser love. We read in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine. And this is his power, a power that is rooted, restful, and relational. And most importantly, his power. But Paul leaves us with one last reminder in verse 21, that just as the power is the Lord's, so is the glory. We read, "To him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." We look at this glory that is his, a glory that is more than we can ask for or ever receive, a glory that surpasses all of our knowledge. His glory. Yet Christ calls you to be a part of it every day. We do this by understanding God's love fully. We choose to stop settling for less, for cheap imitations. And most importantly, we approach Christ through faith, freedom, and confidence. I'd like to end today with a prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians from Ephesians 1:18. And I pray we might pray this for each other. Pray with me. Lord, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you to, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Amen.